T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For us to all be here and showing our support and just talking to people, that's what I've really tried to do today, is just talk to different people and ask them how they're doing and have a conversation with them and just talk.
Kyle Poso from the Buffalo Sabres, among the many representatives from the Bills, Sabres, and Bandits who were on the East Side yesterday. Phenomenal showing, and great job by all of them to offer comfort, offer a hug, help hand out food, basically do whatever was needed to help the people impacted in the community from Saturday's shooting. We're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up around 7:50 this morning. Tim Wenger from over at WBEN was there yesterday on the scene for that, and he's going to join us. We'll talk a little bit more about that with him. We'll talk about the Bills right now with Sal Majorana, one of our favorites from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Mr. Majorana, it's Howard and Zach. Good morning. Happy whatever day of the week it is, Sal. Thursday.
Yeah, it is a happy Thursday. The Yankees have got off to a great start, Howard. I'm in a good mood, which is rare, as you know.
I kind of pointed that out before we got to you, but I thought maybe you'd find a way to complain about, what, 9 losses? They're only playing 770 ball or whatever it is right now?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sure your son's enjoying it, too, sticking the dagger in the heart a little bit, isn't he, Howard?
Yeah, no, I mean, hey. Why not work for a winning franchise, right? So what the heck? It's very exciting for him. So
I haven't met your son, but I applaud the young man for knowing which way to go in New York.
Okay, don't push it, Majorana.
Which borough to go to.
Thanks. Great. I'm in a good mood today. It's not like Max Scherzer got hurt last night. Let's move on. And we'll talk Bills football. But you know what, Sal? It's interesting. You know, you've got the perspective of someone who's covered, I don't mean this as an insult, who's covered this team for a long time. You were there for the buildup in the 80s and the teams of the 90s. You remember what the buzz was like, what the offseason was like, the expectations. You cleared out your schedule for January every year. You knew there'd be playoff games. You knew that you might be covering a Super Bowl. Does this feel like that, or is it different in some way?
Yeah, I think it does, Howard. These last 2 years clearly, you know, they've been exciting years for Bills fans because, you know, those like you just said, who missed that era that you and I both went through. You know, there's been a generation of people who have no clue what that was like, and now they're finally getting that taste. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun to cover games that are now relevant, right? I mean, for so many years, I'd go to these stadiums across the country and just know that whatever I was writing, nobody was really going to care too much about, because the games didn't mean anything. Now, when I go into a press box, I know I'm covering something that means something. The games are important, not only locally, but nationally. The Bills are now a relevant national team again. They're getting all this love as a Super Bowl favorite in many places. Yep. So, yeah, it's been a fun couple years, and I do feel, you know, I recall back then, there was a time when you just knew the Bills were going to win. I mean, there was no doubt the Bills were winning. They were going to the playoffs. It was just a great time to be a Buffalo Bills fan, I'm sure. And it's starting to feel that way, Howard. They've got a really nice team. It's like the Yankees. I don't have much to complain about, Howard. They're a good team.
Yeah, well, so let me ask you this. Again, since you have the experience of covering those teams as well, the expectations with this team have built, right? So 2 years ago was, hey, you know, I think they might be good enough to win the Super Bowl. Look, they go to the AFC Championship game. Last year was woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? A lot of us think if they get past 13 seconds, they go to and maybe even win the Super Bowl. So the expectations go up and up, and a lot of us believe this will finally be the season where they, you know, they kick the door down, so to speak. How do you think those teams in the 90s handled those expectations every year. How do you think this coaching staff and this group of players, in what you've learned about them over the last few years, is prepared to handle that heavy favorite role?
Yeah, look, I mean, that team in the early 90s, Howard, what differentiated that team from this team, of course, is the salary cap and free agency. That team was built over a course of, really, you could start as early as 87, when it was Marv's first full year, and he and Polian started to build that team, and it stayed together for 5, 6, 7 years. You know, it was the same guys in the locker room. This time around, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, they've got this never-ending challenge of the salary cap and free agency and a revolving door in many ways at One Bills Drive. So you could almost say, I mean, they haven't had the success that the early 90s teams have had yet. But if they do get to that point, to me, it would be an even more impressive feat. If the Bills could continue this for several years and maybe win a Super Bowl or two, that's going to be a more impressive feat, because the challenges of building and sustaining an NFL team today is much different than it was back then.
All right, let's talk about this team and Super Bowl chances. And you've got to obviously go through the schedule. You've got to make the playoffs. We'll start with the division. We'll work our way to the conference. Assuming you would have the Bills winning the division, Sal, I'm going to guess that's a safe assumption. How do you think the division will play out? 2, 3, 4? Is there a serious threat inside the division that could really challenge the Bills?
Yeah, look, I mean, they're the class of the division. I like, you got to like with what the Dolphins have done in the offseason and the Jets to an extent. Well, certainly the Jets, they just have further to go than the Dolphins do. I think Miami's going to be tough. I think, you know, let's face it, the Bills have owned them for the last 4 years, and you know there's going to be some motivation down in South Florida to start turning that around. They've made some nice moves in the offseason, and if they can get what they're hoping they get from Tua, if he can play well with, you know, some nice weapons around him now, I think the Dolphins are going to be a problem. I don't think the Bills are going to, you know, lose both games by any stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me if they split that one. But I do believe the Bills should take two from New England. I just don't think the Patriots have done much in the offseason to improve themselves. And, of course, the Jets, a good young team probably coming up, but that's not going to happen right away. So I think the Bills, you know, I'm thinking 5-1 in the division. So that would be a good start. But then they've got some tough games outside. That their tougher games are going to be outside the division. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, so the conference now, Sal, and we were talking a little bit about this with Sal Capaccio yesterday. The conference the last 2 years going into the season was, it was Kansas City. They were the gold standard. They were the team everybody had to look at, and you beat them. Who are the Bills that team now? If not, who is that top threat in the AFC?
Boy, tough question. I mean, people want to write off Kansas City. I still think it's a pretty good team. I mean, they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. But they just drafted, I forget who it was, they just drafted somebody to replace him. That's still a really good team, Howard. And the Bills, to me, look, they beat them there in the regular season last season. But the Bills have still got to prove that they can beat the Chiefs if they meet them in the playoffs. That's still a hurdle that Buffalo hasn't gotten over yet. And I still think that hurdle is going to be there. The Chiefs aren't going anywhere. Now, the difference this season is hopefully that game will be in Buffalo, right? Because Kansas City is in the best division in football, and those teams are going to beat each other up all year, and you would hope the Bills are going to have a better record than any team in that division. And if that's the case, they're probably going to have a better record than any team in the conference. So I think that's the key, right? I think the North's teams are going to beat each other up. Nobody from the South is coming out this year like Tennessee did. So if the AFC West beats each other up, the Bills could have the best record in the conference, and then they get the home games.
We're with Sal Majorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, talking all things Bills football. Okay, Sal, let's get to the Bills now and their offseason. Whatever you might have put together as an offseason checklist, did Brandon Bean check all the boxes, in your opinion, of whatever he needed to address?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the checklist wasn't very long, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, it really wasn't. This roster is good to go. I even said it before the draft. They could go out there right now and play, and they're good to go. So by adding, you know, the cornerback, Elam, that was the one area that we all knew he had to add. I was worried, you know, because Brandon, he doesn't always think like, okay, it's got to be a position of need. He always wants to take, you know, the best player available. But I think common sense ruled the day. And he looked at his roster and said, hey, best player available, but we need a cornerback. So I think that's a good thing. Hopefully the kid comes in and can play. I don't know if he's going to be Trey White, who stepped right in and was great, but they need him to be really good. Sure. They need him to play from day one. So that was important. He's done, he did good things in free agency. Again, there wasn't a whole lot to do. I like this kid, Shakir. I mean, fifth round pick. He to me was one of the most impressive kids that they drafted. I think I could see him, playing pretty early. I think I like Crowder and McKenzie as slot guys, but I really kind of like, I don't know why, I don't know much about the kid, but I just, when they picked him and I started looking at him, I said, boy, that guy, that's a guy that Josh is going to have fun playing too.
Yeah.
And then the kid Cook, look, I mean, he didn't play a whole lot at Georgia. You look at his numbers, he wasn't really, I think he started six games in his career. So I think there's a lot to prove there, but I trust Brandon Bean and their staff evaluation. And if they deemed him a second round pick, there must be something there. So I think that's a kid that's probably going to come in and help them right away.
On that topic, let me jump ahead in my timeline here, because I wanted to ask you about some of the questions. When you get ready in July and the Bills are going to camp and you start putting together your articles and your plan, I'm sure you'll get to like the different questions you think there are about the Bills going into training camp. What about at wide receiver specifically, Sal? Diggs is here. I think a lot of us are expecting Gabriel Davis after that Kansas City game to have a big year as he moves up in importance in this offense. What about the loss of Beasley? How significant is that? Because say what you want about, his off-field and all the other stuff, he was a big weapon, a big security blanket out of the slot for Josh Allen the last 2 years. What about that loss, and how do they go about filling that?
Yeah, hey, look, Beasley caught 220-some passes from Josh Allen the last 3 years. He was a very productive, reliable receiver. He and Josh had a great relationship, particularly on the field. So, yeah, that's a big loss for the Bills. And I think Jamison Crowder is a guy who can come pretty close to filling that, that need. Look, in 2019, I think it was down to Beasley and Crowder when they were looking for a slot receiver. And Crowder ended up getting a little bit more money from the Jets. And I'm not going to say that Breen wanted Crowder ahead of Beasley, but he did get a little more money from the Jets. So maybe that was the case. Those guys were both highly coveted slot guys coming in free agency. So they ended up with Beasley. Beasley has been terrific. But they now have Crowder. And I think Crowder could be a good player for them. There's nothing outside of some injury problems. He has had a couple injury problems with the Jets. He can be the guy that fills that role. You've still got McKenzie to do what he does. And like I talked about Shakir, I think he's going to be a slot guy. I don't think he'll be an outside player. So they've got plenty of options in the slot. But I think Crowder will be the number one guy, and I think he'll be a good player for the Bills.
All right, quick question about what the offense might be like. Not that we're expecting a radical shift, of course, from the strength of what it's been the last couple of years, but Dable out, Dorsey in. They add a speed back, as you pointed out, in the draft. They bring in a second tight end. There's been some talk that maybe we'll see more two tight end sets with O.J. Howard here now. Any feel or any idea what's going to play out in terms of Dorsey's offense, basically?
No, I have no fears at all. Look, I mean, Ken Dorsey's a smart guy, Howard, and he's seen what the Bills' offense has done the last 2 years, and most of the personnel is pretty much still in place. It would be pretty dumb for him to come in and start changing things around. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. This Bills team does what it has done the last 2 years very, very well. Why would you do that? I mean, there's going to be some tweaks, obviously. But we talked to Josh Allen when they first came back to town, and he had said that Dorsey's leaving the terminology pretty much the same. There won't be a whole lot of – I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of difference when you're watching games on Sunday of what the Bills are trying to do on offense. There's a few different guys in place, obviously, and you're right about the tight end aspect of this. There could be more tight end, two tight end sets, because McDermott, you read between the tea leaves at the end of the season, it did seem like he was a little bit perturbed that Dable never really established a true ground game. They had some games where they were pretty good, but there were instances during the season where Sean wasn't pleased that the Bills didn't run the ball more than they did. So I think that'll be one of the differences. But are they going to become a run-first team? Hell no. Josh Allen is still going to sling the ball all over the place, and they'll run the ball when they need to. The goal will be to run it a little better than they did last year.
My final thing for you, Sal, I wanted to ask you about contract extensions, because every now and then Brandon Bean will pop in a nice little long-term extension for a guy in the summer before the season begins and not worry about someone reaching free agency. So three guys, Edmonds, Poyer, Knox, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I've got this right, three guys will all be UFAs after next season. Do you think anybody gets an extension before the season begins? Should anybody get an extension before the season begins?
Yeah, out of those three guys, Howard, I think Dawson Knox is the guy that I would re-up with. I liked Knox 2 years ago when people were really questioning, well, what do they got here? They need a new tight end. I was saying, I think this kid's got talent. I think this kid's going to come around, and I think we saw that last year. He played really well. The drop issues have gotten better now. I think he's a good weapon, and he's still young. This is his fourth year in the league. That's the guy I would re-up with. Jordan Poyer, I know there's been a lot of noise about Poyer, especially with the agent shift to Drew Rosenhaus. So I don't know, man. He's going to be 32 years old, I think, next year. I'm not sure I'm re-upping with a safety at huge money when he's 32 years old. He's been a great player for the Bills. Absolutely. He's one of the best safeties they've ever had in the team history. But I don't know that I'm re-upping with him at his age. I think I would move on from him. So of those guys you mentioned, I think Knox for sure. Edmonds, man, that's a tough one. Because, again, that kid's 24 years old. And, I mean, I know he's been frustrating as a first-round pick. He's been a good player for the Bills. He's given them a lot of snaps. We've always wanted more from him. And, you know, maybe this year it happens, Howard. Maybe he becomes that dominant sideline-to-sideline great athlete linebacker who makes big plays, right? He makes a lot of plays. He hasn't made any big plays in his career. Maybe it happens. And if it does, I guess you think about it. It would be hard to turn your back on a kid like that at 24 years old and say, no, we're going to let him go. Because he's got a lot of football left in his career. So yeah. That's a tough one. That'll be the toughest one that I think Bean has to decide on.
But you know what? Poyer's interesting, Sal, like you mentioned. Like I would think the Bills, if they did want to extend him, would be more interested in like a 1 year deal, maybe two at the most, but nothing longer term. Whereas Poyer would like to, I'm sure he would like more guaranteed money in a longer term deal. We know like he and Hyde have been one of the best safety tandems in the league. Those guys coming in from the start, one of the best free agent pickups in this era of McDermott and Bean. Well, McDermott then. But you almost wonder, Sal, that's one of those things where, look, when you get this good and you hand out a lot of big contracts, at some point you're going to have to make some hard decisions and move on from guys that you make the business decision. Poyer might fall into that category because of his age.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You can't keep them forever. You've got to do the churn. As I said earlier, in the early 90s, those guys did not face these decisions with salary cap and you know, free agency. They could keep those guys together. Players didn't have options, right? Their contract ran out. Yeah, you could let them go, but they didn't have an option to go somewhere else. You know, you typically re-signed with your team. That's not the case anymore. So they've got some big decisions to make, and we know the salary cap is going up, but Howard, this cap on the Bills is going up and up and up, right? I mean, these are star players that they had. Now, this is no longer the 2010 Bills where you don't have to pay anybody. They got to pay these guys, and they can't pay them all. So they got some tough calls to make.
All right, I was trying to put this off as long as I could, but the Yankees are 28-9. They have the best record in Major League Baseball. Gee, Sal, there were a lot of Yankee fans we know here in Western New York. My goodness, if there was only somebody who put together maybe a Yankees newsletter or had a book about the Yankees that people could get.
Yeah. You know what, Howard? I love covering the Bills. It was my dream job since I was a kid. But my other job was I always wish they could have covered the Yankees because I mean, I've been a fan, you know, since I was a little kid. So I just decided, you know, they're pretty good this year. It might be fun to just put my thoughts down after every series, and you know, maybe I'd email it to people. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been doing a newsletter like twice a week after each series, and just ranting and raving like I used to on Twitter, and put all those thoughts down in the computer and then email them. So what I've been doing is asking people on Twitter to DM me your email address if you're a Yankee fan, or however you can get it to me by my phone or email, and I'll put you on the list, and you'll get my my newsletter that I'm putting together. It's got a lot of information, some This Day at Yankee stuff, and all my thoughts about the games. A lot of fun stuff in there. And I'm writing it not like a newspaper reporter, which is what I am. I'm writing it like a fan. So I think people – so far I've got about 200 people, I think, that have already signed up. And I think they're enjoying it because they're getting me the way you see me on Twitter. You know, if I'm pissed off, I'm pissed off in the newsletter, and I can say it in the newsletter. So it's been a lot of fun. And we also started a Slack channel. So they can – I'll send them an invite to that. And we've been using that in-game to have this group of people conversing about the game. Rather than, you know, me being on Twitter, I'm kind of saving all my comments for the Slack channel. And it's been fun so far. So I would love Yankee fans to just DM me at Twitter at Sal Majorana, and I'll get you on the list. And the next one goes out Friday morning, and you're good to go.
It's M-A-I-O-R-A-N-A, okay? Sal Mayor, at Sal Majorana, M-A-I-O-R-A-N-A, if you want to get a hold of Sal and get the newsletter. As always, sir, thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. Enjoy the rest of your baseball season.
All right, Howard, call me back whenever you want, pal. You know I'm here.
Don't ever say that, Sal, because you're going to regret saying it. I've got it now on public record, so we won't bug you until training camp. How's that?
All right, I'll tell you what. I don't hate the Mets, Howard. I hope the Mets do well.
Aww.
I hope Scherzer is okay. I do. I'm not a Yankee fan who hates the Mets. I save all my hate for the Rays, the Jays, and the Red Sox.
Okay,
so
really?
I like your Mets, except when they play the Yankees. I like the Mets.
Wow, the Jays. All right. Well, I'll take it. I'll take your love. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Majorana joining us from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Does a great job. Covers the Bills, but he's been busy lately covering the Amherst and the Red Wings, too. Busy man in Rochester talking a little Bills football with us. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. So when we get back, Jeremy's out today, so Zach and I are here with you. When we get back, there's a really cool stat about the NFL. I'll bet we bring it up every training camp. Jeremy and I will address this at some point every training camp. It's not about the Bills. It's about the league. It's a recurring stat that you think, no kidding. This has been going on for about 20 years. It happened again last season. And Zach and I will give you our best bet on who it could happen to this season. I think that all makes sense. That's coming up in a moment on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, choose love. I think it's a motto that I think maybe that we should start adopting as a country, treating those, you know, it's the golden rule, treating those as you'd want to be treated. And what happened here was, it's disgusting, despicable, and there's so many different words you can use, and none of them are nice. And we're here to brighten people's days and try to help move past this and share the grief with our community and let them know that, you know, we care and we want to hold that with them.
Josh Allen, some of his comments yesterday on the East Side as a great, amazing turnout, really, from the Bills and the Sabres and the Bandits. Four busloads showed up to do whatever they needed to be done yesterday. They laid flowers at a memorial site. They helped serve food in a lunch line. They hugged people. They talked to people. They brought smiles to faces that haven't had smiles on their faces the last few days. And it was a great showing by the sports teams here in our community. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in about 15 minutes with Tim Wenger from WBEN. He was down there yesterday for that and covered it for the station. So there's a football stat. Zach and I are going to do a little bit of a discussion here. I'm sure you're familiar with the stat. It is worst to first. Now, this is, again, where we talk about the NFL and parity and everything they do to make sure you're not supposed to go, like, you know, I don't know, 17 years in a playoff drought. So they want to have everybody, every fan base needs to feel like if you don't have a shot that year, you won't be down very long. So worst to first, team going from last place in one season, the very next season, winning their division. You wouldn't think that would happen a ton, right? It's happened in 17 of the last 19 NFL seasons. So it's a fairly regular thing. This is like a likely to be earned incentive as opposed to a not likely to be earned incentive. Last season, it happened with the Bengals, who had been in last, I think, three straight seasons, and they won the AFC Central. North, sorry, old school. So, Zach, here we go. I've got the eight last place teams. You and I are going to talk about best bet or bets to go worst to first. Now, there will be two teams that will jump off this list at you. Two easy teams to bring up. But we're going to go with some other candidates as well, okay? So let's go one by one. Jets.
I like what they did this offseason. No.
You could have just gone no shot before you did I like what they did off. I'm with you. No shot. Ravens.
That's the one.
That's one of the two teams that jumps off the page. Because the AFC North, who knows, right? The Bengals are, I don't want to say, I don't know, maybe I am skeptical. I don't think they were a one-year wonder. But to come back and win the division again, I'm very bullish on Baltimore bouncing back and Lamar Jackson looking like he was the 2 years prior. So anyway, Ravens, I would say, would be my first choice.
I mean, they're not going to go 1-5 in the division again, right?
Is that what they did last year in the division?
Yeah, they went 1-5 in the division.
And they got crushed by the Bengals in their two meetings. So that's my choice. But we'll keep going. Don't laugh. Okay, I'll explain in a moment. If you're looking for a sleeper, dark horse pick, don't laugh. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't hate it.
Here's why. This is where Jeremy would tell me it's the Ralph Kruger effect. Okay? Urban Meyer was a disaster. Now, the Jags were not good. We know that they're rebuilding, but they've got some pieces in place, right? They've got their quarterback. Hey, they get Travis Etienne, who didn't play at all last season, although they had a good running game as it is. The Jaguars, you'd look at it and go, okay, they weren't as bad as their record would indicate because their coach was awful and he just ruined everybody. Plus, you can beat out Houston. Maybe you're not sold on Tennessee or Indiana. See, if Indianapolis still had Carson Wentz, I would feel even better about Jacksonville's chances of pulling this off. But I think with Matt Ryan, I don't see Jacksonville beating out the Colts. But that's a dark horse candidate.
Yeah, if you put money on Jacksonville, you're telling people, I don't like Tennessee or
the Colts. Or Indy, right. And you'd get more. Look, that's going to be a longer shot than, say, the Ravens or Broncos on odds, right? Denver. Sorry, I just mentioned Broncos. Denver is the other team that was in last, could go worst to first.
I think they will. I think that's...
You like them.
If I had to pick one, they would probably be it. I just like that team really was the one where I was like, they're a quarterback away.
So
they,
Russell
they
Cooking
are.
Is going to... He's going to cook for you.
I'm just excited to see him with an offense that isn't in the 80s.
You know, I had... I'm trying to think. On the fantasy team last year, the league I was in with Jeremy and Brayton, I think I began the season with Jerry Jeudy. He got hurt.
Yes.
And I dumped him. And then I had Tim Patrick there for a little while. I was really proud of that pick. I know he wasn't a prime target, but he was a good receiver. But then every week playing a Broncos receiver was so infuriating because look at the quarterback play they were getting. So I might have to go back and find a Bronco now with Russell Wilson there. All right, so you're taking Denver. NFC, here are your four teams. Worst to first candidates. Giants.
No, I don't believe in Daniel Jones.
Okay, so I was going to say, again, if you're looking for... I mean, their odds would not... They'd be a longer odds, right, to do this. You'd be, hey, Brian Daboll, he's going to come in. He'll be a much better coach than what they've had there in recent years. You think there's something there with Daniel Jones. You would like, you know, the draft picks and some of the players Joe Shane has brought in. You would also not be sold on Dallas, Washington, Philly, and go, okay, it's not exactly... You're not exactly beating out anybody in the AFC West. It's the NFC East. But I'm with you. I would not pick the Giants. Detroit Lions, they're getting a lot of love. Dan Campbell is a hot commodity in terms of coach of the year bets. But, I mean, Green Bay would have to collapse for Detroit to do this.
It's interesting with Green Bay. I don't know what they're going to look like without Devontae Adams.
They still have Aaron Rodgers.
They do.
And remember, we're just talking about could Detroit finish first in the North.
No, but I definitely think they're going to finish second.
Okay, which is not a stretch to say. You could say, hey, they're going to beat out Minnesota, which is rebuilding, and Chicago, which you don't know what you're going to get from Justin Fields and what's going on with the Bears. Okay, from the no-shot category, Carolina Panthers,
no.
Right?
What are they even doing?
That's a really good question. See, the no-shot on them is twofold. One, are you beating out Tampa? Two, what are you going to be with Sam Darnold again?
Are they gonna run Sam Darnold
unless
out there again?
Unless they trade for Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield before the season begins, they run Darnold out again, and this team is, you know, they're gonna fight
Garoppolo's
Atlanta
get traded
for last.
Soon.
I would think.
Like he has Wouldn't, to,
and
right?
Mayfield?
Mayfield, I think everyone's
Mayfield
waiting.
Mayfield can't stay in Cleveland.
No, but I think everyone's waiting for Mayfield just to be cut.
Yeah, because that or like they're just not they gonna... want Cleveland to eat enough of the contract to make it worthwhile to trade for him. So Carolina, no shot. Seattle. Worst to first.
Just absolutely not. Although Drew Locke was one of my original like draft crushes, so that one really hurts. That stings. That I'm looking at him going, no, not even
a shot. And again, see that's why the worst to first thing is interesting. Now like last year we said Cincinnati did it. Now, you know, you might have looked at it and go, well, geez, they finished last the last 3 years, but Burrow looked good as a rookie. He got hurt. They would have had a better record if he doesn't get hurt. They had gone and kind of built up the offensive line. They had made enough moves. They brought in what turns out to be a fantastic receiver in Chase. So you might have looked at it and thought, okay, and in that division, Roethlisberger was coming down. Cleveland was underwhelming people, and that would have left Baltimore. And you wouldn't have known about all the injuries and everything.
Yeah,
but again,
for them, it was a lot of circumstances, but for everyone it is.
A lot of crap happened, okay? But for Cincinnati, you would not have looked at it and go, no shot. Hey, Burrow is good. No one in that division is like, wow, how are they going to beat out fill-in-the-blank team? So that would not have been a crazy pick last year. So, yeah, let's see. We'll see what happens. I'll take Baltimore. You're going to take Denver.
I feel good about that, yeah.
And if you're kind of person who loves betting long shots, you know, like when we do the Triple Crown previews, we always like to find out who's the long shot. You're just like going with the long odds and say, you know what, let me just throw however many bucks down on this one. Throw a few shekels there, a few shillings, a few pounds, a few lira. I'm trying to show off my knowledge of foreign money here. Throw a few bucks on the Jaguars just for you-know-whats and giggles. Why not?
Just for a good time.
Sure. I mean,
it's a good party opener. Like, oh, you threw money down on the Jags and you can go on like for a half hour about why you believe in Jacksonville.
Isn't that part of the fun of betting? If a long shot comes through, I don't know how many of you had the long shot in the Derby, but that's part of the fun of betting. Again, I'm not telling you to put $1,000 down on the Jaguars, but, you know, throw a little pizza money, a few months of pizza money. See what happens. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. We got more football coming up top of the hour. Zach and I are going to hit up some other NFL topics for you. When we get back, and we've been playing back some of the sound, some of the comments from the Bills and the Sabres and the Bandits. A number of them were out on the east side yesterday helping out the community and really coming up for the folks who are dealing with that tragedy firsthand. And we'll talk more about it with Tim Wenger from our sister station, WBEN. He was on the scene yesterday. He's going to join us in a moment on WGR.
This is not a one-stop shop. This is something that we all, you know, the Bills included, the whole community, we got to continue to rally around all the affected families. Yeah, the national media is here for now, but, you know, there's going to be another story soon. It's up to us, and we plan to lead the charge. And this is not going to, you know, leave people's lives in a month or a year. This is a lasting thing, and we got to do our part.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, among the many representing the Bills, Sabres, and Bandits on the east side yesterday, representing WBEN out there yesterday and covering the story since Saturday is our Tim Wenger, and he joins us right now on the Wester Hotline. Tim, good morning, first of all. Thanks for coming on with us.
No problem, Howard. Good morning.
What was the scene like? So four busloads pull up and all these guys get out from the teams. Describe what you saw yesterday as they all pulled up and got out.
Yeah, Howard, really an emotional scene for sure. You know, I've seen a lot down there in the past 4 days, and, you know, you don't want to, you know, say that this was one of the most impressive scenes because we've seen so much horror, so much tragedy, you know, in the faces of this community. But I can tell you this was such a meaningful visit. Those four buses rolled up, parked, you know, one block behind, and just walked through the Apollo Theater parking lot over to Jefferson Avenue. and very quietly, unannounced, walked over with flowers in hand, all wearing the same T-shirt, and stepped up to that same memorial you saw President Biden and Mrs. Biden walk up to the other day and pay their respects. And when they were through there, all three teams and the management and coaches walked just about a block away and began serving food, hot food, prepared food, and then, you know, giving away water, packaged food. You know, there were people crying. I noted this morning that, you know, I think these athletes, these you know, rock stars in the mind of so many people in this town would have been more comfortable with me not being there, with the media not being there.
Yep.
Because I think they just wanted to connect with the community. And they did, you know, and we gave them that opportunity to do so. But I almost felt like an invasion of their privacy at that moment.
You know, Tim, it's interesting. I you know, from my standpoint, I love watching that stuff. I couldn't get enough of the video yesterday. I'm getting choked up every time somebody's tweeting out a clip of the players there. But to your point, a lot of times over the years, there have been many players who've played here in Buffalo over time that have done great work visiting hospitals, visiting sick people, and they do it undercover. They don't want, they're not looking for the publicity. They don't want the cameras. So I completely get it. But honestly, it means a lot to me as a fan of these teams to see these players and coaches do that stuff because I know what it means.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and, you know, it was just, it really came from the heart. I mean, they didn't even want really to talk. You know, Josh Allen ultimately addressed the media as so many of the others did, but they didn't, you know, you could tell they didn't want to do that. That's not why they were there. And that's all they talked about. I mean, obviously there was no conversation about anything else. You know, it hurt them the way it hurt the rest of us, you know, this unannounced attack on this community, this part of Buffalo that supports all these teams. You know, I can't stress enough how much it meant to the people, and you could see it on their faces. You know, just a remarkable moment in Buffalo history.
Do you know, were they able to speak to, like, family members of the victims?
I'm not aware that any family members were there. They certainly could have been. You know, if they were, they were discreet about that. But I didn't see anybody that I knew was a family member. They had, you know, they interacted with some of the political leaders. Mayor Brown was there. Crystal People Stokes was there. You know, and they had some conversations with them that were private. You know, for the most part, this was their interaction with the people in that immediate community affected. And it's a remarkable sight to see even when the Bills, Sabres, and Bandits aren't there.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because you've been covering the story since Saturday. What are you seeing? Can you describe, as you're out there, people are out there every day. Yes, the president comes into town, it draws media coverage. The Bills and Sabres and Bandits show up, it draws media coverage. But as you've been out there, at the non-quote bigger moments or bigger events, what are you seeing from the people that are out and about on Jefferson in that community these last few days?
Howard, it's tough. It is. It's really tough. And I'll tell you this. I left that visit by the teams yesterday and went up to East Ferry in Jefferson, and that's where a lot of these food distributions are taking place. And I sat in my car and did some work, and, you know, with the intent to do a story, which we did, on the food distributions. And I saw this one man in the parking lot just standing there. He looked a little confused. He was holding a piece of paper, and I got out of my car and I asked him, you know, if everything was okay and, you know, what's up. And he started to tell me this story, you know, with a tear in his eye. He was holding a receipt from Tops, and it was a receipt from about 20 minutes before the shooting started. He showed me the receipt, and he had just found out that the clerk that checked him out was okay.
Oh, good. Oh,
it was an I know you thought that was going to go the other way, as did I.
Oh,
and it was just an amazing, you know, those are the stories, you know, that it's awesome the Bills were there and the Sabres and the Bandits. But stuff like that is like, it's just incredible. It makes you really think about what's important. And, you know, that guy will live with that for the rest of his life, wondering why he's okay and 10 other people aren't. Crazy.
The other thing I'm going to ask you about before we let you go is not just the response in terms of the people showing up and helping out, doing whatever they could, handing out food, handing out hugs. The monetary and food donations that are coming in. Look, we always know this is a great community. From our standpoint in sports, we've seen the whole thing, you know, with Andy Dalton and Lamar Jackson and people giving to other players' charities. But can you talk a little bit about the money that's been raised so far and the food donations, and we're seeing stories about volunteers coming in to help pack bags of groceries to help distribute food to people in need in that community right now.
Yeah, you know, on that note, I talked to a lady who flew in from Atlanta yesterday to participate in the food distribution that I just talked about. There are people coming from all over to help out. There are people, you know, from our neighborhoods, from all over Western New York, that are just driving down, opening their tailgate, and dumping out a bunch of, you know, purchased groceries, packaged items, et cetera. So that part is just underway, and anybody can do that. You know, it's a really, it's an amazing and emotional environment if anyone chooses to do that. Monetarily, you know, there are a number of different ways people can do it. Perhaps the most meaningful one maybe would be the one established by TOPS, and they've announced that late yesterday, the 514 Fund. Certainly at the TOPS website, WBEN website, you can find out more about that. But the 514 fund, they seeded it with $500,000. The Bills, of course, have stepped up. Tons of information at buffalobills.com on that, too.
And, of course, as you mentioned, the WBEN website as well. Tim, great job. Thank you for sharing the stories with us this morning.
You bet, Howard. It's tough, and it's important, and I'm glad you're sharing it with the audience.
It's a very small part. Glad to do it. There's Tim Wenger with us here on our Western Hotline. Yeah, and I'm sure everybody, you know, that's why I'm having Zach play a lot of the bumps this morning are the Bills players or the Sabres or the Bandits, whoever, or management or coaches. Sean McDermott was out there among other people yesterday laying the flowers, and it I think it did mean a lot. Again, it doesn't solve the problem, but you do what you can do. Each person tries to do what you can do to help out the community. And watching all the videos, Tim tweeted out pictures. Tim tweeted out videos. He was among the many reporters, news reporters, sports reporters, Matthew Bove from Channel 7. Every video that was tweeted out, I'm looking at it yesterday and getting choked up. And I know it meant a lot to have the prominent athletes that people love as sports fans show up and say, what can we do? How can we help? What do you need from us? 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Hey, a little football. We're going to get back and talk a little bit about, the upcoming season, some bets, some betting advice, some fun numbers that are out there for the upcoming NFL season. We'll do that in a moment. You can join us, too, here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.